Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, Christmas has come, so I'm going to do the Christmas games, guys. I'll wrap up each game for that day. Also, some news. Mike Brown out as the Sacramento Kings coach. We'll talk about that. And then the Lakers finally moved D'Angelo Russell. We'll talk about that as well. So all that and more, maybe squeezing something else. We'll see. But sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, it's the holiday season, so you know I get a little bogged up with things that's going on. You know, life is life, and so, but nonetheless, I am back to crack open the mic and talk about this thing we all love called basketball. And guys, we had our Christmas games. I was able to sit down and watch and enjoy these games. So without any further delay, we will talk about that. We'll talk about the Mike Brown firing. We will also talk about D'Angelo Russell finally being moved by the Lakers. And if I could squeeze in something else, we'll see how time permits. So without any further delay, let's get right into it. So Christmas Day, we started off with my New York Knicks hosting the San Antonio Spurs. Now, bear in mind, guys, that the NBA, Adam Silver, and the powers that be thought that since last year and Wemby's rookie season, his team and the Knicks, they play such a compelling game out there in San Antonio. You know what? Let's make this a marquee game for Christmas, which I, again, when I saw the schedule and this came out, I was like, you know, it's a team that you play a couple of times a year. It's not really a rivalry there per se, albeit that they both met in a finals once, but this is way years back. So there's not a true rivalry here. I thought it would have been better served to have a Indiana Pacers, maybe have a Philadelphia, although Philadelphia ends up playing Boston. I thought there's other rivalries you could put in its place, but this is what the NBA went with. And for all accounts, seemed like they got it right because this was a compelling game, guys. A game that was very close. In fact, the Knicks were down at the half, 58-51. But this day was the Mikal Bridges day. Guys, I mean, he went absolutely bonkers. The final score, by the way, was 117-114, a game that was very close, guys, very close. In fact, in the waning seconds, you had kind of a back and forth going on. But when all was said and done, the Knicks prevailed and get the win. I think the story in this game was the turnovers, guys. Knicks with only 5 turnovers and San Antonio 15. And the Knicks were able to capitalize off those turnovers, points off turnovers, 21-7. So when you have a disparity like that, that doesn't look good for the other team. But like I said, Mikal Bridges went absolutely berserk. 41 points on Christmas. And I mean, he did it in a variety of ways. Mind you, he did it with the, who I call the Christmas King, Bernard King, who still, till this day, holds the record for points scored on Christmas Day with 60. But he had 41. along with 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, he was doing it all. And he scored it in a way that Bernard King would have been proud. So, Mikal Bridges, you know he's caught a lot of flack prior to December as far as Knicks. Oh, how they give up all those draft picks and all the this and that. But I tell you what, man, in December he has come to play. And that's the thing, guys. You can't throw a guy over the side after a month and a half of games being played. He's coming to a new situation. Remember, in Brooklyn, he was the guy in Brooklyn. So he comes here now. He's third on the pecking order at most. Third on the pecking order. So he has to adjust to that, guys. And I say he's adjusted well. So he comes out and shows out on Christmas Day with his 41 points. Karl Anthony Towns, bit of a quiet day. 21 points, 9 rebounds. You know, most centers would say, I'd love to have a quiet day like that. But for Karl Anthony Towns, that was a bit quiet. But, you know, that's okay. He's still doing his thing. Jalen Brunson, 20 points for him, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. I love when I see Jalen Brunson get those high assist numbers. That means he's getting guys involved. He's not, you know, going totally isolation. He's getting the ball moving as the floor general. I love to see that. So Jalen Brunson with a very nice game. And Josh Hart, what more can you say about this guy? I mean, he is the heart and soul of this team, no pun intended. 12 points, 12 rebounds, so he gets the double-double. 6 assists and 2 steals for the New York Knicks. And then on the losing side, Victor Wembanyama, in his first Christmas game, guys, this is what he does. 42 points, and I mean, he did it in a variety of ways. Mind you, he took a bunch of 3-point shots, but that's a story for another day. 18 rebounds, 4 blocks, and 4 assists. So a tremendous first game for Victor Wembanyama, who I can imagine we will see him a lot more on Christmas Day in the future. So the Knicks prevail, and they get the win. Then we move to the second game. Minnesota Timberwolves going to the Dallas Mavericks. A game that, mind you, Minnesota was up big at the half. But Dallas found a way, guys. And they had to do it because Luka Doncic, he left the game early in the second quarter with a heel injury. So it was a short day for Luka, but Kyrie Irving, he put the team on his back. He got some contributions from others, but they came up a wee bit short. And Minnesota gets the win on the road, 105-99. And in this game, again, turnovers a big issue here. Dallas had 12 turnovers to Minnesota's 10, but points off turnovers, Minnesota had a 10-point advantage, 14-4. So Minnesota with the win. Anthony Edwards in his first Christmas game, he has 26 points, played well, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Julius Randle, no stranger to Christmas days, being a former Knick. 23 points, 10 rebounds. So he gives you the double-double along with 8 assists. So Julius Randle showing up on Christmas Day. And then Rudy Gobert with a double-double himself. 14 points, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks. And then a losing effort, Kyrie, like I said, he went off. 39 points for him along with 5 rebounds. So Minnesota gets the win in Dallas. And we'll see what's going on with Luka as far as that heel goes. Your middle game, the third game, Philadelphia 76ers. Healthy going into this one. They head up to Boston to play the Celtics. And then this was a very close game, guys. In fact, after three quarters, it was tied at 82. But that fourth quarter, it was Embiid time, man. And Embiid really showed up and showed out. Mind you, prior to the game, he had a slip and fall during the warm-ups where you almost thought he would have got pulled for the game, but he toughed it out. He toughed it out and played. And, guys, Philadelphia goes into Boston and gets that win in TD Garden. And the final score, 118 to 114. A very entertaining game, as I said, guys. Again, turnovers. Boston had 13. Philly only had 6. So, again, turnovers a big factor in these games. And for me also, free throws. Philly goes to the line 19 times, knocks down every single shot. Boston, on the other hand, only goes 13 times, and they sink 8. So there you go. There's your discrepancy there if you want to see it that way. For the game, Tyrese Maxey, who's continuing his all-star campaign, 33 points, 12 assists, guys, 4 rebounds, and 3 steals for Maxey. Absolutely playing out of his mind. Joel Embiid, despite the fall he had, 27 points, 9 rebounds for the big man. Khalid Martin, who's been playing, he's been a solid addition for this team. 23 points, of which he knocks down 7 threes, guys. So basically, Khalid beats Boston at their own game as far as sinking those threes. So he has a solid game. And on the losing side, Jason Tatum, he's continuing his MVP march. 32 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists. And then Jaylen Brown with his 23 points along with 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals for him. Derek White also chips in 21. So Philly goes into Boston and steals a victory, guys. So far, guys, you have 2 teams winning on the road. Now we go to the fourth game. The Lakers on the road facing the Golden State Warriors in another close game, guys. In fact, after 3 quarters, the Lakers were up by 8, 84 to 76. But Golden State is not going to lay down. You know they're going to fight, especially being at home. And in a game, mind you, that the Lakers lose Anthony Davis. They lose him in the first quarter to an ankle injury. So you have to get those guys to help out and support LeBron. They do just that. And they squeeze out, guys, thanks to Austin Reeves coming up in the clutch. They squeeze out a victory in Golden State, 115 to 113. And this game, LeBron James, the man is about to turn 40 years old for crying out loud. 31 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. I don't want to hear none of the nonsense, guys. This guy is doing this stuff at the age of, you might as well say, 40. Absolutely mind-boggling and a testament to how he keeps himself conditioned and ready to go. Austin Reeves drops a triple-double in this game, guys. 26 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists for him. So Austin Reeves absolutely shows out on Christmas Day. And Rui Hachimura, you know, he had to step up in the absence of Anthony Davis. He drops 18 points, of which he drops 5 threes in the game. On the losing side, Steph Curry, What more can you say about the man? 38 points, 8 threes he has in this game, along with 6 assists. And then Andrew Wiggins, 21 points and 12 rebounds. So he gives you that double-double. But the Lakers find a way, guys, and they get the win on Christmas Day. To which LeBron was interviewed after the game, and he said he had this to say, and of course, you know, the talking heads had a field day with it. He loves football, but Christmas Day, that belongs to the NBA, which, you know, of course, led people to set the hair on fire with what he said. And then, of course, you have your Rob Parkers of the world who has something to say in that regard. You know, of course, questioning why LeBron had to say it, and which is fair. You know, you do associate Christmas Day, just like Thanksgiving, you associate that with the NFL. Christmas, you associate with the NBA. That's just the way it is. And even as I've been saying, a lot of people say the NBA doesn't start until Christmas Day. So you have the NFL with their 2 games, including the one where you had Beyonce perform at halftime, and, you know, everybody blew a fit over that. That's not my area of expertise. I'm talking basketball, so I'll leave that where it is. But, yeah, so, you know, and LeBron has a right to say that. So I have no problem with it. I have no issue with it. So if people want to fall over themselves about this statement, let them have at it. But the Lakers get the win. And then the final game, Phoenix, they host the Denver Nuggets in a game that was also very close, guys. So you had 5 games that were pretty much non-blowouts. And you saw competitive basketball, guys. So Phoenix up by 2 at the half. But in the end, they pull out. They prevail. 110 to 100. And then notice this, guys. You didn't have not one game where this team scored over 120 points, which tells you the NBA can play a competitive brand of basketball if compelled to do so. So bear that in mind. But the story for this game, again, turnovers, guys. Denver had 16 turnovers to Phoenix, who had 7. Points off turnovers, it's obvious. Phoenix, 20 to 10. So there's your disparity right there as far as the final score. And in this game, Aaron Gordon, he re-injures his calf in the second quarter. So the Denver Nuggets, they have to play without one of their key players. But when all is said and done, Kevin Durant leads the way with 27 points. Actually, he ties with Bradley Beal, who also scores 27, along with KD's 27 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals. And for Bradley Beal, along with his 27, 4 assists, and 4 steals. And on the losing side, you have the Joker, Nikolai Jokic, 25 points, 15 rebounds, 2 steals. So he gets the double-double, not the triple-double. And then Michael Porter Jr. adds 22 in a losing cause. So that is your 5 games on Christmas, guys. Very rich and rewarding game for the NBA. In fact, the Knicks, to start the day, the ratings for first game, as far as first games goes, this has been the best in years. So the Knicks giving you the solid product to start the day, and then everything kind of snowballs after that. So, all right, guys, so that's your Christmas wrap up there. Let's talk coaching, guys. Mike Brown out as the Sacramento Kings coach. His record, 13-18 to finish his season, being that he's fired, of course. His overall record, guys, 108 wins and 89 losses. So that gives you a win percentage of almost 55%. So then for a Kings coach, that's very good. Very good. Mind you, his first season with the Kings, he got the 48 wins. His second season, 46 wins. See, the problem is, and oh, by the way, he won Coach of the Year in his first year with the Sacramento Kings. The problem for Mike Brown, he's in a highly competitive Western Conference. Highly competitive. So, you know, the onus is on him to keep up with the powerhouses over there, which is, you know, you got to have the right personnel to get that accomplished. I always been of the mindset that they need an actual legit center. I know Domantas Sabonis, I see the numbers he puts up. He's great, but I think he's out of position playing center. That's my feeling. I think if you had a more defensive-minded center, somebody like a Walker Kessler, somebody like a Mitchell Robinson, when healthy, I think you would, that would serve that team much better by putting Domantas Sabonis at the power forward position and playing with a defensive center. That's my feeling. I could be wrong on this. But he's out. And then of the 18 losses he amassed for the season, guys, nine of which they led going into the fourth quarter. So that's not a good look, guys, because it looks like you're not prepared to finish games. So in that regard. And then the last loss, which was the straw that broke the camel's back, was a one-point loss at home to the Detroit Pistons, who they're not the bottom feeders that they used to be. They're actually playing competitive basketball, but you can't lose that game. And mind you, they were up 10 points with 3 minutes to go. You can't squander a lead like that and lose at home. You can't do it. So the GM, Monty McNair, and the powers that be said, you know what? I think we squeezed all the juice out of this orange that we could. So he's out, guys. And then, mind you, also add on top of that the fact that on the last shot made by Jaden Ivey of the Detroit Pistons, De'Aaron Fox, he fouls him, and he makes a three-point shot, four-point play, that wins the game. So a lot of things factoring into all of this, guys. Remember, they acquired DeMar DeRozan from Chicago in the multi-team deal. He had to give up guys like Harrison Barnes. He had to go. So you brought in the DeRozan thinking that adding a guy like that will enhance what you have already in De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, Keegan Murray, and guys like Malik Monk, but that's not to be, guys. They seem to have struggled out the gate. You know, sometimes when you add a piece, it takes quicker than you intend. Sometimes it takes slower. In their case, it took slower. And then put all on top of all this, 6 months ago, Mike Brown gets a coaching. He gets a contract extension. So he's paid up until 2026-27. So you have that. So I'm sure I reported on this. But it's not a good situation in Sacramento. A lot of the coaching fraternity has blasted the firing. You know, coming to the defense of Mike Brown, he wasn't given a good enough chance. You know, Same franchise, same results. You heard similar things like that from a Mike Malone, what he had to say about them. Of course, Steve Kerr, who Mike Brown served under him 6 years as a assistant coach. So he came to his defense in this regard. So, yeah, and I don't even know how to defend it at this point. You have a disgruntled now De'Aaron Fox, it seems. He's in the fourth year of a five-year deal that pays him $163 million, and he didn't want to sign the contract extension. So you have a guy now who, if he finishes this season, he'll go into a lame duck year where you don't know if he wants to stay or he wants to leave. So you have that. So, you know, the Kings were in a difficult position at this point. And so much so, GM Monty McNair, he had this to say about the firing. This was a difficult decision, and I want to thank Mike for his many contributions to the organization. So it seems like a move they did not want to make on its surface, but they're figuring maybe this is the shakeup they need. I say you're going to have to figure some things out with De'Aaron Fox. They bring in now Doug Christie to coach this team. This is his third year as an assistant. He came in actually with Mike Brown and the crew. So we'll see what Doug Christie does. Maybe he can kind of shake some things up. The key for him is for him and De'Aaron Fox to be on the same page. That has to happen from the outset. If there's a not seeing eye to eye between those two, that could be problematic. So do they have time to turn things around? Absolutely. You haven't even played half a season yet. So they just have to figure out their identity, who they are, and take it from there. So we'll see what happens in Sacramento. But, you know, hats off to Mike Brown. He did what he can with that situation. I think he will be hired, maybe not during this season, but definitely in the offseason. Somebody will come knocking. I say the first team that should come knocking at his door is probably the Washington Wizards. I don't know if he goes there. I think Mike Brown at this stage, he wants to go to a place maybe where the coach prior to him has failed, has underachieved. I think that's a situation I can see Mike Brown stepping into. I don't think he goes into a rebuild situation with a Washington. I would keep a close eye on a few places to see. He'd be nice in Toronto if Darko Radonovich, if he can get things rolling up there in Toronto. He would be a nice coach up there in Toronto. A few other places off the top of my head. I think he should leave the West. I think he should leave the West. It's dog eat dog out there. I think your chances in the East are far better for you. So definitely, yeah, Toronto would be a place I would consider off the top of my head. Chicago's kind of a mess. Atlanta, maybe. Charlotte. He should consider Charlotte as well. Charlotte is, you know, it's just health with those guys over there as far as Charlotte goes. But, yeah, I would say Toronto or Charlotte should come knocking at his door. That's for sure. All right, so that's that news. The Lakers finally do it, guys. They trade D'Angelo Russell. They trade him finally. You know, guys, I've been talking about it. He got benched. When I talked about the Lakers reeling, they sent him to the bench. He only started 10 games out of the 29. And they really soured on him. So they said, you know what? We got to make a move. So they send Russell along with Maxwell Lewis and three future second-round picks to Brooklyn. In exchange, the Lakers are getting Dorian Finney-Smith. He's a 3-and-D guy, some athletic wing that, you know, they're going to need over there. And then you get Shake Milton, point guard, you know, a solid point guard, more of a backup than anything else. But over here, I can see him possibly seeing starter minutes. It depends. So you get both these guys here. Both guys, I think, can help the Lakers. I think they can. So, you know, I think it could be a win-win when all is said and done. Brooklyn, you get a dynamic point guard. He's still that, guys. You know, it's just that, you know, playing with LeBron and being a point guard, you're really under duress. You really are, because, you know, LeBron likes to handle the ball and so forth. So, here, he doesn't have any of those type of issues. He has a young Cam Thomas there that he can kind of mesh with. You got some young players over there. Maybe you can bring in a Russell, can shake Nick Claxton out of his malaise, because he's had a slow start to the season. Now you got an actual point guard who can set him up. So you have that. You got a young Cam Johnson over there. So you have, I think, D'Angelo Russell, I think he can flourish there. Mind you, this is his second stint with the Brooklyn Nets. So he knows what playing in the Barclays Center is all about. So I think he'll do fine there. And guys, my fantasy angle, if you had him in fantasy and you, like, you know, once he got demoted, like, oh man, let me just hang on to him just in case he gets moved, I think you'd be rewarded right now, because I think he's going to be able to flourish, guys. I think he would. So he has all the opportunity over there in Brooklyn. So definitely see what happens. Jordy Fernandez is over there. So I think he'll be able to tap into Russell and kind of boost his confidence back up. And I think he'll be fine in Brooklyn. Albeit Brooklyn's an also-ran team, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. All right, guys, I think, yeah, I'll end it here. I'll end it early. I don't want to go too long. So, guys, I owe you a couple of weeks' recaps. I'll do that. I'll get that the ball rolling on that. So, yeah. And, you know, I got more stuff coming. I just wanted to get back on the mic and let you guys know I'm here and going into 2025, still bringing you that fresh, good content. So thank you for listening. As always, your listenership is what keeps the show going. I appreciate it, guys. You know how to get to us. AllThingsBasketballWithGD.com is the website. There's all my episodes, my support buttons, guys. I continue to say this is the season of giving. It's still, we're not out of December yet, so you can still give, guys. Give to the show. All my support, I have it in the scroll there, guys. Also, it's on my page, whether it be Buy Me a Coffee, Spotify, PayPal. My Cash App is there as well, guys. If you want to utilize that also, that's a way to support the show. Also, podcast platforms. I'm on all of them, guys. Apple Podcasts. You can like, leave reviews, those sort of things. YouTube, I'm there as well. I'm starting to get back into putting my clips up. So there as well. Like the videos where you see them, guys. Also, as far as social media, IG, I'm there heavy. TikTok, while it's still alive and breathing, I'm utilizing that. Blue Sky is where I'm at, guys. No longer on Twitter, no longer on X, not messing around with that. Facebook, I'm there from time to time. And LinkedIn, I put my episodes up there as well. So, yeah, I think that is it. All right, thank you for listening, guys. As always, appreciate you, and we will talk soon. Take care.